Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 in the Red Pew Bibles. This is page 1090. Page 1090 in the Red Pew Bible. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to God. Before we get into our reflection on the readings this night, one of the privileges you have as a pastor or assistant pastor is to honor the request of your grandchildren. And my grandson was very disappointed that we were singing the wrong version of Happy Birthday. So if you could all join me to sing the right version of Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. How was that, Evan? Good. All right. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Christ the Lord, the Messiah. The angel Gabriel had told Mary that she would bear a son, and was also told that they should call his name Jesus. In Hebrew, Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. We just heard in our reading from the prophet Isaiah, which was foretold about 600 years before the birth of Christ, that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so we have all these different names that keep being, are given to us in the scriptures. Savior, Christ the Lord, Yeshua, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Did you ever wonder why does God have so many names? Seems like most people should be able to get by with one or two, or I guess some people have sometimes some really long names. Why is it that God has so many names and so many different names? Well, in the Bible, the name of a person actually had three different meanings. First, of course, it was that by which the person was called. Okay, when Mary wanted to call Jesus home, get home, Yeshua, come on home. But also, name implied or indicated a person's character. Their nature was in the name of a person. But also, it was how the person was perceived by those who were around them. So not only what they were called, but what their character was or is, but also how they were perceived and known by those who were around them. A name, very, very important. And so God has many names because there is no one name that completely describes God. He is beyond description. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, all these try in some small way to encapsulate the greatness of the God of the universe, the creator of all that is, seen and unseen. And of course, that's impossible. It's impossible. And so the Bible has revealed to us these various names by which God is known, his character, but also by which we know God. And so God is beyond description. There is no one name that completely describes him. And there was no one way that God could be known until what we celebrate tonight, until the coming of Jesus of Nazareth. Perhaps one of the most revealing and yet overlooked, I think, passages in all of Scripture is the way the letter to the Hebrews begins. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. For centuries and generations, God sought to reveal himself to the people, describing himself in various ways. But fully and finally, he could not completely make himself known the way he wanted to make himself known to his people, by any name or any title, by the very person of Jesus of Nazareth. And so the God of the universe took on human nature, came into this world, yes, to die for our sins that we might be reconciled to him, but more than that, that even beyond the cross, the resurrection would be the coming of the Holy Spirit to know the God of the universe in a very intimate and personal way. So it's not just being reconciled to God, but it's also living in that reconciled state, the intimacy of a personal relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And that's what we see in the person of Christ, and that's what we celebrate tonight. Jesus once told his disciples, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." What an astounding statement to make. Can you see why they crucified him? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And yet that's what Jesus said. I am in the Father, and the Father is in him. And so, perhaps I think one of the, if we were to pick one name, I think, that could possibly describe the character of God, particularly as revealed to us in Jesus Christ, I would pick this one, Emmanuel. God with us. The God of the universe with us. His name is called Emmanuel. See, God's desire is not just that we would know him as the prophets had foretold, but God's desire is that we would know him, we would experience him in a personal way. There's actually three different Greek words for knowing. One is the head knowledge, of course, but the other that's used in this sense is the knowing, very intimate knowing, as in a husband and a wife knowing one another. And as in people knowing one by experience. To experience something, I think we could all understand, to know somebody as a friend or to know somebody who would help in time of need is one thing, but to actually experience that is when we really know who our friends are, is it not? Because we've experienced it and we know, in fact, this person is somebody who stays with me and will be with me in times of trouble. When God had appeared and talked to Moses, when they were being delivered from the bondage of Egypt, God said this. He said, I am the Lord, which is, Lord is Yahweh or Jehovah. I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. What God was saying to Moses is, all who preceded you knew me as God Almighty, as the King of the universe, creator of all that is. But now you, my people, are going to know me in a very intimate, very experiential way when you see the mighty hand and the outstretched arm that delivers my people from the bondage of Egyptian slavery. To experience God, not just to know him in our head, but to actually experience him in our lives. What an awesome thought, what an awesome promise, and what an awesome fulfillment. And so to actually experience the covenantal God, to experience what he actually does for us and in us as Savior, as Creator, is an awesome experience. And so my question for us this evening, have we experienced God in our lives? Jesus came into the world to make the Father known, send his Holy Spirit that he might be in us and work through us. Have we known and sensed the very presence and power of God in our lives? I've heard some amazing stories about people who have known that. And I've shared before part of my own testimony after 27 years of going to church almost every Sunday. Was raised as a Catholic. Went to church almost every Sunday, and about the age of 27 or 28, I met this woman who had been a believer less than a year. And she had this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I, what? How can she have this that I don't have? I didn't know what it was. And of course, in my own kind of ignorance, I said, well, you know, you've been a believer less than a year, and yet you seem to have this intimate relationship with Jesus. How did you get that? You know what her answer was? I asked for it. I'm like, no, that can't be right. You just ask for it? Yeah, yeah, we just ask for it. Now, yes, we believe, and I absolutely believe all that, that God comes and the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells within us. But there does seem to be, at least in my life, another happening, another time where I was maybe to open myself up more to the Holy Spirit. And I actually started to experience what I had seen in this person, a personal relationship, a real sense of the presence of God in my life. Now, I believe that this can be experienced in many ways. First of all, foremost, it's simply a gift. God just seems to show up. We can be reading Scripture, maybe serving the poor. Certainly we know Christ as we serve among the poor. Maybe within family, maybe children. Many ways, certainly, that God makes himself known to us and just comes upon us in a very personal way that we can actually just feel his presence. I'm not talking emotion. I'm talking something much deeper that touches the very center of our being. But I believe that Jesus gave us a way, a very visible way, and I believe it. He did it very intentionally. And what I'm referring to is what we know as the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that when we partake of the cup, we participate in the blood of Christ. When we partake of the bread, we are participating in the body of Christ. What an amazing statement. Jesus himself said in John 6, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in them. If you remember in John 6, the leaders of the Pharisees were confronting him, and he's saying, well, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, well, how can you give us your flesh to eat? He was speaking in very literal terms, and they understood it in literal terms. That's why some of them said, we can't follow this guy. This teaching is too hard. And many abandoned him. How can he speak so literally about giving us his flesh and his blood? Well, we're also told in the experience of the two disciples in the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. Jesus came, appeared to them, walking along with them, and their eyes were kept from recognizing him. When did they finally recognize that it was Jesus? In the breaking of the bread. And they gave that testimony to the other disciple. He was known to us in the breaking of the bread. Our eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread. And so in the early church, we're told two different times in the Acts of the Apostles, what did the church do on the first day of the week? They came together for the breaking of the bread. Of course, prayers, fellowship. So I believe, yes, there's many ways God makes himself known to us, but this, I think, was really something special. Nothing else like this in all of Scripture is described like Jesus in such specific terms to say, this is my body and this is my blood. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in them. And so I ask you tonight, have we experienced personally the presence of the risen Christ in my life? Now, there was a time, a long time in my life, I simply didn't understand the question. I'm like, what are you talking about? But I've come gradually to know, as I have done what this woman told me, you ask for it. As I've tried to believe more and more what the Scriptures believe, I say about things like the breaking of the bread, there's something special. And so the more I open myself, the more I have had experience to the point that it has driven me to tears, to be overwhelmed by the presence, the power, and the peace of God. What an amazing thing. Now, I would say for some of us, maybe felt as I did at one time, I felt kind of cheated. That there are people who, you know, hadn't been going to church as long as I was. And they talk about a personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ and sensing his presence. And I'm like, I would say to any of us here, if we've been believers and we've not had that sense of God actually revealing himself to us in a very personal way, I would say the Scriptures talk about it. It is real. It's something we ask for and open ourselves to. And he is faithful. What did Jesus say? The last words to his disciples, I will be with you always to the end of the age. So what we celebrate tonight, God of the universe coming into his creation, walking among us, living among us, sacrificing himself for us, sending his Holy Spirit to be in us, that we would not just know about God, we would actually experience him. That's what we celebrate tonight, to experience the risen Jesus Christ. My hope tonight is that all of us would leave here with a sense that in this place and then within us, an encounter with God of the universe in a way that touches a place deep inside of us, and we're never the same again. What a joy. What a gift. To us, the Son is born. To us, a child is given. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, the kingdom of God, it's upon us. It is here. It is here. And that means the best is truly yet to come. Because God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. O gracious God, Heavenly Father, Father, you desire to make yourself known to us, not just in our head, but in our heart, in the depth of our being. And so Jesus came and sends his Spirit that we might know you in a very personal and real way. Help us to open ourselves, Father. Any barriers in our lives, barriers of pride or whatever it might be, help us, Lord, to overcome those, to tear down those walls that might divide us to your sense of presence, that we may truly experience the presence of Christ, the risen Christ, in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. And we ask this in He who made it all possible, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.